Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is now in the book of Daniel. And today we are studying in chapters 9 and 10. And this is lesson number 7. And this is what we call the second part of the study in the book of Daniel. The first part was chapters 1 through 6, and now we're studying the second part of Daniel, that is chapters 7 through 12. So today, our study is about spiritual warfare and about prayer, and it's also about good and evil angels. So before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Father, looking to you to teach us through your Holy Spirit, your precious word. Father, we ask for understanding, Father, that we may serve you and that we may know you more and be obedient to your will. We can't do this, but you can. We're asking now for the wisdom and knowledge from you, Father. And we just give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, I do pray. So, let's just review a little bit on the context of what we have studied in the past. We're looking at today the main points in Daniel 9 and 10. So we have seen that Daniel is the one that is having the visions now, and the angels are the ones that are revealing these visions. In the first 6 chapters, the kings were having the dreams, and Daniel did the interpretation through God. He never took credit himself. It always came from God. So we know, as we studied previously, that Daniel had read and studied in his youth from the book of Jeremiah, that there would be 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And of course, Daniel is in that 70-year period, not at the end, but all of this study is while he is in captivity there. So now, here we see that it is coming to an end. And Daniel looked to the Lord and confessed his sins and Israel's sins. And he asked the Lord to listen to his prayer on behalf of the people and his holy city, Jerusalem. And Daniel prayed for God to end the captivity. And of course, we know that he did. And all of Daniel's prayer was based on God's word. It was based on God's character. And we saw that in Daniel 9, 17 through 19. And then we studied later in that chapter, chapter 9, in verses 20 and 21, that Gabriel, the angel, came to Daniel. Now, today we want to help us to understand about that vision and who the characters were and how that God used these angels to carry out his plan. And we're looking now at 2 particular angels that God used. So let's look at the first one, We studied in Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, and chapter 9, verse 21 of Daniel. We learned that he was told to give Daniel understanding of the vision in chapter 8. So who was it that was told? It was Gabriel. Gabriel looked like a man when he appeared to Daniel. And that's what we studied in that 8th chapter. Then in chapter 9, God gave Daniel insight and understanding, or the angel did, through God, of the vision. Now, some of the things that we learn about Gabriel, we find in different places of the Bible, but in Luke 1:19, we learn that Gabriel is an angel who stands in God's presence. And he was sent to speak good news to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. And then we also learned in the book of Luke that Gabriel was also sent by God to announce Jesus' birth to Mary. So Gabriel then is an angel of God, and he brings messages to the Lord's people. Now, the other angel that we're studying about here in chapter 10 is Michael. And in this 10th chapter, in the 13th verse and the 21st verse, we learn that he is called one of the chief princesses. Now, this is Michael, and the great prince who stands guard over the sons of his people. Michael is the guardian angel of Israel, and his power is seen here in Daniel 10 when he helped another angelic being when the prince of Persia withstood him for 21 days. So, looking then at chapter 10, verse 13, and verse 21, we see that it tells us, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. And then, behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." So then, looking at verse 21, he says, "However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince." So here we see that Gabriel and Michael are together in heavenly realms, and that there is a spiritual war going on. It's not an earthly war, but a spiritual war. And we learn here that he was able to stand firm with this other angel against the forces of the princes of the Persia and Greece. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7, we read in that chapter about a future heavenly war. And here in this verse, Michael, the angel, has such strength that he and his angels will overpower the devil and his angels in the future war. So that is Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels wage war. And we have studied previously that this dragon represented Satan. So it was, they were in a spiritual war with the devil, Satan, and his angels. And then we have learned more in the Word about these angels. There's only one record in the Bible about an event that took place that Jude, chapter 9 or verse 9, there's only one chapter, Michael disputed with the devil over Moses' body, but he didn't pronounce a judgment against the devil. He called on the Lord to rebuke him. So we see that the angel Michael disputed with the devil here in this scripture, but he is not the one that brought judgment. So Michael existed in Daniel's time, and he also will arise to guard Israel at the end of time. That is at the end of the reign in that last future time that we haven't yet received. And just as Gabriel existed in Daniel's time and just before Jesus was born, so it appears that angels are everlasting. So let's look at some scripture, and I'm not going to read all the scripture because it would involve too much time, but I will explain the best that I can what the scripture means. But I'm going to give you the scripture so that you can write them down, and then you can come back and read these scriptures. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, and Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Now, in Hebrews, we see that the nations and Israel and the seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 1 through chapter 3 have angels connected with them, and so do believers. And angels are spiritual beings who serve or minister to believers and children. And they are always continually watching, or they are always before God's face or in His presence. Now, these are the good angels that serve God and minister to the people. Now, the bad angels are Satan and his angels. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, it gives the passage as being in the day when the Lord gives Israel rest from pain and toil and enemies, especially from Babylon. So this is also pointing to the time of the end Daniel and Revelation speaks of. That is in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Now, in verses 4 through 21 of Isaiah, there is a taunt against the king of Babylon. And this is in a reference to Babylon at the end of time that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, it refers to a spiritual being. But verse 16 says that he is a man. So we don't know if this is in reference to Revelation 13, that he is empowered by the dragon. Revelation 12, the devil. So, don't get confused, because it goes back and forth. But here we see that God, in his omnipotence, in his great power, he gives Isaiah, even in the Old Testament, and Daniel and the other prophets, things that are coming in the future. So here we see in verses 12 through 15 that he wants to ascend to heaven, that is Satan, and make himself like God, but he will be thrust down to the recesses of the pit. So is this referring to the king of Daniel 7? Now, king is a common translation of the Greek of the, king is the common translation of the Hebrew word melech, M-E-L-E-K, and it means a chief magistrate. It can refer to a king, a ruler, a prince, a god, a false god, or an idol god. So twice in this passage, it refers to stars. So is this the stars that are in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 9 and Job chapter 38? If you want to write that down, Revelation chapter 1 verse 20 and chapter 9 verse 1 and Job 38 verse 7. Now, looking at Ezekiel 28 verses 1 through 10, and I'm not going to read these, you just need to write them down, and then you can go back and read, but I will tell you, I'll break this down so that it'll give you the meaning of the verses. Verses 1 through 10 of Ezekiel 28 speaks of the leader of Tyre, who was a man, according to verses 2 and 9. And then in verses 11 through 19, turns to the king of Tyre, referring to an angel. Okay. And then from Daniel, we have observed spiritual beings that are called princesses over the nations of Persia and Greece. And they also know that Michael, the great prince, the angel, stands guard over Israel. So this passage in Ezekiel is probably speaking of spiritual beings over the nation of Tyre at that time. So we learned that here in this, that the chapters give information about the devil himself and his creation and his fall and his end. He was created perfect, the devil was, and full of wisdom as the anointed covering cherub, and was in Eden and on the holy mountain of God. But because of his sin, he was cast to earth from the mountain of God and put before kings, and then turned to ashes on the earth. We know that that will come in the future when he will be cast into the fiery pit. Now, let's look at some verses that give us understanding about the power and the authority structure of this spiritual realm. First of all, we know that it's a fact, it's truth, that God Most High rules not only over the realm of mankind and earthly kingdoms, but he rules over the whole heavenly and spiritual realm. Some of the scripture that gives us understanding about this, that he is sovereign over all, that's everything. In Psalms 91, verse 1, God is enthroned above the cherubim, and Satan is a created being, the anointed cherub, that we learned in Ezekiel 28:11-19. And God has always been over the devil in power and authority. Now, we also look in Luke 22, verse 31. And here we see that Satan had to get permission from God to sift Peter. Always Satan has to get God's permission. Remember in the study of Job, he had to go before God to get his permission to be able to do the things that he was able to do to Job, and God gave him permission to do everything except to destroy the soul of Job. And then we study in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 4. And these studies in Corinthians and 1 John refer to the devil as the god of this world and he who is in the world. And 1 John 4 says, the Holy Spirit in believers is greater than the spirit in the world, the devil. And then when we look at Ephesians 1 and 6, chapter 1 and chapter 6, and 2 Peter chapter 2, this speaks, both of these speak of rulers, powers, and world forces, as in Daniel, of darkness, spiritual forces, and wickedness in the heavenly places. Remember that our study today is a spiritual warfare. It's taking place in heavenly places, not here on this earth. And so all the scripture that I'm giving you is referring to spiritual warfares and not earthly. Now, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, he calls them angelic majesties and says that they're angels like Michael who have greater might and power than some. So that's in 2 Peter chapter 2, 9-11. Now, Jesus, we know, is seated far above all of those who rule and have power and dominion. He is far above every name, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Now, if you look at Psalms chapter 78, verse 49, and 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and Revelation chapter 9, verses 13-15, here in these studies, a Pharaoh would not let Israel leave Egypt. So God sent his burning anger on the Egyptians. And we learn it's by a band of destroying angels. So throughout scripture, we see that God uses his angels to carry out the destruction or to bring about the judgment. And especially when you get in the book of Revelation, how that when the seals are broken and the scrolls are read and the woes come, God always sends his angels to carry out his plan. And in the future, when the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, then the four other angels, especially specifically prepared for that day and hour, will kill a third of mankind. And that you find in chapter 9 of Revelation, verse 13 through 15. So, Chronicles, that I just mentioned in chapter 32, speaks of God sending an angel to destroy the mighty warriors and commanding officers in the Assyrian camp to save Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And then, going back to Daniel 10, chapter 10, verse 13, and verse 20, we see an angel spoke to Daniel about the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. And the angel Michael would stand with this angel against the prince of Persia. So Michael is the prince who stands guard over Daniel's people, the Jews. Now, in Daniel 8, that was in our previous study, verse 23 and 24, and in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 3, all of these speak of a king or the beast who gets his power from Satan. And if you look to Revelation 16, verses 13 through 14, it says that out of his mouth and the mouth of the dragon, Satan, and the false prophet, who is the second beast, will come three spirits of demons who will gather the kings of the world for war of the great day of God. And that is referring, we read that in Revelation 16, verses 13, 14. And as you study that, it would be the war of Armageddon. So, now then, let's see what effect that this spiritual realm has on us today. What does it mean to us? Are we in a spiritual warfare? Is that going on in our lives today? There's several things that we need to look at. And I will give you some scriptures that you can write down, that you can refer back to see what all this effect will have on us as individuals, as believers. First, the devil can blind unbelievers' minds from hearing the gospel and use them to do his bidding. But he cannot do that. He cannot blind believers. Only unbelievers that he can do this. He can only blind the mind of unbelievers. But now we know that we as believers have the mind of Christ. And Satan cannot blind our minds from hearing. Now, next, we learn in the book of Ephesians that Christians are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, far above demonic powers and rulers. So, if we are seated with Christ in heaven, we are above the demonic powers and rulers. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, we learn that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. The Holy Spirit is in all believers, and having the Holy Spirit, he is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist that is in this world. And that was 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. Now, we want to see how that we overcome. And let's look at the armor of God that protects believers against the schemes of the devil. We need to stand firm. So, how are we going to stand firm? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read these scriptures, starting with verse 13 through 18. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. So, how do believers overcome, and how are we able? Here we see in this writing that was given to Paul, we have the armor of God to protect us that gives us power over all demonic powers and rulers. And then, even though the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, the Holy Spirit that dwells in believers is greater. And that's 1 John, and I think I already mentioned that. So nothing can separate us from God or from His love. And all things, believers, are overwhelming conquerors because of the Lord Jesus. And you can see that in the Word of God in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. So what else do we have that helps us to overcome? We have the privilege and the responsibility of prayer. And here in the book of Daniel, we see that Daniel took advantage. He was a man of integrity, and he knew that it was through prayer that he would be able to overcome these evil demonic spirits. So he prayed not only for himself, for understanding. He made confession and constant praise and give thanksgiving. It's a prayer that teaches us how to pray. So we should pray for all of those in authority, as Paul had commanded Timothy. And he commanded the Ephesian believers to pray for all saints. He wanted to pray in accordance with the will of God. He persevered in his prayer. He prayed that God would give him the ability to spread the gospel and to give it to others. And he prayed for people's eyes to be opened, that they might see the light of the gospel. And he prayed for healing, not only for the nation, for himself. So we also look at Elijah. He's a great prophet of God that gives us an example of prayer. And we know that during a great rebellion against God, that Elijah prayed that rain would stop, and it did. And he prayed based on the word of God, just as Daniel did. So we know that God's word is led by the Holy Spirit. Now, Colossians 1, 9 through 14 is an example of a great prayer, a straight from the word of prayer, for all believers. And let's look at that. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, that's God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So here Paul, in this letter to the Colossians and to us today, this was his prayer and thanksgiving to God for these Colossians here in this church of Colossae. And it was written down for us today. This very prayer is still going to God in heaven for us as well as those. And it's such a great example because it was directly from the Word. And God, through the Holy Spirit, gave Paul this prayer to pray. So God is in control of this world and of all spiritual realm. So we as Christians don't need to fear what the devil and his angels or demons can do to us. So we just need to stand firm and put on the armor of God as He commands in His word. And we're to be like Daniel, of high esteem before God, a people of prayer, but of biblical prayer. It's good if we go back and we study and read these prayers of these great prayer warriors in the Word of God. And they're put there for a purpose, and that purpose, it's examples as we, as believers, might look and follow these examples and pray like they did, led by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that today's lesson, that we have learned a lot more about not only Daniel and his people and Daniel and his faithfulness, but the main thing that we want to see in all of this, throughout all the scriptures, that God is sovereign over all. He is in control of everything here on this earth, beneath the earth, and in all heavenly places, because He is Elohim. He is the creator of everything, and He controls it all. So we, being believers in Jesus and having accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we know that He has His angels watching over us, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, that we have nothing to fear. We just have to have faith and trust and to stand firm upon the Word of God. And I pray that as we go further into this study, that God will give each of us a clear understanding, that we can see how that His Word is truth, and how that it speaks to us from the very beginning of the writings in the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation. And we just give Him the praise and honor and glory for the privilege that we have to read and study His Word. And I just pray now that He will bless each one as we close this lesson today, and then we will continue next week in lesson 8, and we'll be studying in chapters 11 and 12. So let us close in prayer. Father, I thank You again for Your precious Word. Thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit that gives us the knowledge and the understanding of Your Word. Sometimes it seems hard that we can't understand, but Father, whenever we seek to know You more, to understand Your Word, You will always give us understanding. And I think sometimes that myself, that I don't understand, but I find that it puts me back in Your Word to go back and to ask You to teach me. And Father, to seek it, it puts me back in Your Word, and it causes all of us to seek You more. And Father, we know that when we come before You in prayer, we knock on Your door, that You're going to hear us and that You're going to give us understanding. And You give it to us as we need it. And I thank You, Father. I think Your Word is so overwhelming. It's so full of righteousness. It's so full of Your glory that we couldn't take it all at one time. It would just be too much to this carnal body that we live in to be able to take. But Father, thank You that one day that we will be in Your presence. And then, Father, when we look upon Your face and see all of Your glory, then, Father, we'll be able, because we'll then have the body of Christ. And I just pray now that if there's anyone that is listening today that has never believed upon the name of Jesus and upon your word, that your Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them to you and give them the faith to believe that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Messiah, and he loves each and every one, and he wants everyone to be saved. And we do give you all the praise, honor, and glory, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.